Amen. All right, so this morning we're just going to carry on. Well, not from where we stopped the last time. We've been looking at this series called, what? Okay, Worldliness, and part of the bigger series of Living the Life. Yeah, so last week we looked at worldliness, and there's a concluding part to that. But along the line, I just felt that I should slightly shift our focus today and move to just something else as well. So for the concluding part of the worldliness, we'll probably look at that sometime in the future or as part of our Bible study, because the Bible study book is coming out for next month. We'll have that next week, so it's all there. And it depends on how we go. We might look at that next week or just look at it as part of the Bible study. This morning, I just want us to look at something that I've called Seeing Through the Eyes of Jesus. Seeing through the eyes of Jesus. And I'll rope it in as part of our Living the Life series, because in living the life, in living God's life, we need to have Jesus's perspective on things. So this morning, we're going to be looking at something called, well, I've called Seeing Through the Eyes of Jesus. And we're going to read a long Bible reading this morning, to read the whole of John chapter 4. And once we've read the whole of John chapter 4, then I'll now go into the few points here. And I believe that these things will help us a bit in terms of how we view ourselves or how we view other people, so that we can really see people the way Jesus sees them, and we can see ourselves as well the way Jesus sees us. All right, so I'm just going to call Sister Tisha to come and read John chapter 4 for us, because it's quite a long one, and we can follow the reading. So, Sister Tisha, do you want to read? Thanks. So, from the reading that we've just listened to, John chapter 4, from verse 1 downwards, we see the story here of Jesus talking to a woman at the well. He was going on a journey and he sat down, and this woman came to the well to fetch water. She was alone, probably around noon, and Jesus started talking to her. And before we knew it, in the space of this time, he said so many things to her, and she brought the whole of her village, Sychar, to meet with Jesus in just less than a day. Do you understand? So that's the background to this, but there are just a couple of points that I just want to point out from here, so that we can really begin to see ourselves, see other people the way Jesus sees them. So we'll look at three actors in this scene. I use that word actors very loosely. We're going to look at this woman. We'll look at her perspective on life. We'll look at her perspective about herself. Then we'll look at the perspective of the disciples. The Bible tells that when Jesus was talking to this woman, they actually left Jesus to go into the town to buy certain items. So Jesus was alone talking to her. When they came back, they saw Jesus talking to her, but they didn't really interrupt. They had a view as well on the whole situation. Then we'll look at Jesus' perspective on the whole situation as well. So we're going to be looking at this story. We're going to be looking at this scene from three different angles. And we'll now highlight Jesus' angle from this. Now, why are we looking at this scene from three different angles? Because I believe that for each and every one of us, at every point in our lives, regarding ourselves or regarding the people we come across, we will hold one of these views. Or even if we don't hold one of these views, our views might be near to one of these views about people and about ourselves. But what we want to do is we want to see how Jesus really sees things, Jesus's perspective on life and on people. Amen? So let's start with the woman's view. There's something about this woman. Jesus began this conversation with her. And after a while, Jesus said, okay, give me water. They started a conversation. Jesus now switched the conversation into religious conversation. He started talking about worship and all that. And the interesting thing is that this woman had a really, really interesting view about worship. Funny enough, she actually outlined worship to Jesus. She said, okay, you guys do your worship in this particular way. This is how we do our worship. This is how we do things. Do you understand? So the first thing I noted about this woman is that she actually was a religious woman. She had a good idea of how things were meant to work. So she wasn't, when Jesus brought the issue of religion or brought the issue of faith, she didn't say, oh, hang on, I don't do faith or I don't do church like some people. She actually had an opinion. She actually had a conversation with Jesus about worship. So this woman was someone who was a religious person. So that's one thing we note about her. But the point I just want to make is that if we stop at knowing about God, if we stop at, or if anybody stops at just church activities like we do normally, and they don't encounter the real Jesus the way we're going to look here, that person will just be a religious person. So we see someone here who was actually sitting and talking to the Almighty himself, but she didn't recognize him at all, at least at the very start. And she had her religious activities. Now, how does this apply to us? Now, one thing that is very dangerous, I believe, nowadays, is the fact where we have a lot of people, not of their fault or anybody's fault, who one has a conversation with them, and as far as they're concerned, they are saved. As far as they're concerned, they are Christians. But the reality of the matter is that they're not. Now, why am I saying that? Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. It says, it is not by grace. I'm sorry, it's not of works. Okay, I'll just read. It says, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. And I'll just paraphrase that. It says, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And it is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God. So what you have is a situation where someone might be going to church religiously. They go on a Sunday. Someone might go to church on a Wednesday or even every day, and they are actively involved in the activities of the church. Maybe they play an instrument, they sing, maybe they're ushering, maybe they're in whatever, and they're actively involved in church. Do you understand? Like this woman. But they haven't encountered Jesus Christ. We'll go to that in a minute. So you had a woman here who had a strong religious opinion, probably attended a church somewhere in her city, well known, but she didn't know Jesus Christ. So all she was doing, all she knew in this instance was, okay, I do this, I worship God this way, I go on a Sunday sometimes, I go on a Monday sometimes. So she did, I believe, all those things, but she hadn't encountered Jesus at all. So she was just religious. Do you understand? She was just religious. Now, we're still looking at this woman from the woman's perspective. We will switch to the other perspectives. Now, the other thing as well is this. She had a lot of preconceptions about people, about life. When Jesus began to speak with her, Jesus asked her, just, you know, can I have some water, please? Do you understand? One would have expected that she would have said, well, I'm sorry, I don't have time to give you water now, or, you know, get your water yourself. You know, just, you know, something in response to that question. But what we see here is that she said, if I read from John chapter 4, verse 9, it says, the Samaritan woman said to him, you are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? That's the question she asked him. It's like, hang on. Why are you even talking to me in the first place? We are Samaritans. We don't have anything to do with Jews. You should know that. Do you understand what I mean? So we see that this woman also, she had certain prejudices about people. You understand? She had certain, she was strong. She didn't even beat around the bush to say, she didn't give a politically correct answer like, sorry, my cup I have one cup or something. I can't give you what I know. She was blunt. I said, hang on. I shouldn't even be having this conversation with you. We Jews, I mean, come on. We shouldn't be having this conversation. We don't interact with you guys. We're Samaritans and you're Jews. That was the opinion she had. Very strong views. So we see a woman here who was religious and who had very strong views. It's just like, for example, you know, you go and have a conversation with someone and they say, oh, you church, or you guys that call yourself Christians. What are you talking about? I don't talk with Christians. I'm a Muslim. Don't even bring that conversation with me. Or, I remember there was once, can you beat this? At Cabot Circles, this was about some months ago, and I was giving out tracts to anybody who would, you know, collect it. And I gave it to this old chap. I think this guy was from, what's he called? One of these African countries, maybe East Africa or something. Elderly man. And he took the thing from me. He went a distance with his friends. They were elderly people. And he stopped. His friends were waiting for him. And he came back to me. And he said, hello, my brother. Old man. He said, this thing you're distributing, it is not for African people. He was African. And obviously I'm African as well. So it's not for African people. It is for, people who, white people, they came to oppress us with this religion. What are you doing with this, my brother? Throw it away, my brother. Throw it away, my brother. Can you beat that? This guy had strong opinions. Can you imagine someone telling you that? So I looked him in the eye and I smiled. And I said, thank you very much, sir. And I said, no problem. Have a good day. And I just continued giving my tracts to the other people. And he left. So, what am I saying? This lady had strong opinions. And we might say, oh, okay, that's that man that spoke to Pastor Benson. That's that man that, or that's this woman. I'm not really like that. Really? You're not? I'm not. And there are times that we look at people, right? And I see this quite a lot, actually. And you're about to preach the gospel to them, maybe. Maybe you have friends or you have colleagues in the office, and you look at it and say to yourself, hang on, this guy is a manager. In fact, this guy is my boss. I don't think he'll be interested in the gospel that I'm about to preach. I better look for my cousin who I can just force the gospel on. No. Or we see people and we say, oh, this person is too American or too English. No, I don't think the gospel can really suit them. So we have strong opinions that hinder us as well from that. Do you understand what I mean? So what am I saying? From this woman's perspective, she had a strong opinion about how life should be. Sometimes we have that as well. And she was very religious. That was her own opinion. Let's look at the second. We're looking at three scenes here. The second perspective of the disciples was this. Let's look at John chapter 4, verse 27. So this woman, you know, was having this conversation with Christ and she had all these opinions. Then John chapter 4, 27 says, Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, what do you want, or why are you talking with her? Do you know what they thought, right? They came, can you beat that? It's like, for example, this is the scene. Jesus is there, he's talking to a woman, and these disciples come in, and they're like, oh, my goodness, how can Jesus be talking to this kind of woman? But they didn't have the guts to go and ask him. You know, it's the same way, maybe you might see someone and they, in quote, are so bad. In your own eyes, in my eyes, they're almost like drug dealers, if possible. And you're like, how can I talk to this person? Or you even see someone associating with them, maybe a friend of yours talking, and like, how can you be talking? What are you doing talking to that person? Talk to someone who you think will accept the gospel. I remember when we came to Bristol, there was this guy I met in, what's his name? When we just arrived. And on a Saturday, I was going to Cabot Circus. You know, I was going to distribute flyers again. And this guy said, oh, I recognize you. I said, oh, I was like, oh, yes. And we started, you know, talking. He said, oh, what are you going to do? Oh, I said, we're starting this new church, you know, across the road, and I'm going to. Oh, he said, oh, that's interesting. So apparently he says, oh, that he runs nightclubs and all that. I said, no problem. Where are you going when you finish from here? And I'll come and meet you and all that. Oh, he said, oh, his nightclub is. He described where his nightclub is. So I gave him the flyer. I said, you should come, you know, one of these days. But when I finish from here, I'll come back and see you. So when I finished, I now looked around here. The nightclub is actually around here. And they were having like a rave that afternoon. It was like a rave from 12 noon till the next morning. Rave, you know, proper rave, I'm telling you. So I went, can you beat that? So I went there. Bah, bah, bah. I said, I'm looking for X, Y, and Z at the gate. It was like open, and there were different bands there. The whole atmosphere was shaking. It was in the afternoon. They were doing afternoon. It was going to be into the next night. So I entered there. I said, I'm looking for, this guy was the one that owned the whole thing. So I went there. I went in. I didn't see him. He now saw me, and I had the conversation with him. So I said, oh, this is interesting. Why, you know, he now told me how what he does, how he organizes the stuff. I said, okay, no problem. That we're just starting the church there. That anytime he's free, he should come. He said, that in my mind, I was saying that you're in a different business. I'm recruiting, you're recruiting. But what I'm saying is that I think the guy was actually glad that I had the conversation with him in his own domain. And I said, look, we're starting the church. Anytime you're free. I said, his wife and all that, do they go to church? He said, not really, you know. I said, no problem, that he should come. He said that his rave is ending the next morning. I can't come this Sunday. I said, no problem. We're there. Just come when you're, you know. And I took his number. I said, I'll text you and call you one of these days. Do you understand what I mean? So these guys had an opinion, the disciples. They said, hang on, how can he be talking to that person? You know what I mean? So in their own opinion, the gospel was really meant for people who seemed like, you know, cool. People who appeared to be more, you know, not, they don't look that, you know, bad, so to speak. That's what they said. That's what they were thinking. Do you understand what I mean? Now, so that's, we've looked at the woman's perspective. We've looked at the disciples' perspectives. I'm not quite sure which one we fit into, but we're going to look at Jesus' perspective. How did Jesus really see this woman? Now, I believe that Jesus saw her from Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. It says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. So when Jesus saw this woman, although, you know, the Bible says she had had like five husbands, the one she was with wasn't even her husband, and she had all these very strong opinions, Jesus saw beyond all that. Jesus didn't say, okay, you know, you religious people, he didn't even get into that conversation. He was conversing with her with this at the back of his mind. What he had at the back of his mind was that, look, this person is in this position at this time, but that's not where God wants them to be. So Jesus was not addressing her from the mindset of where she was or what she was doing. He was addressing her from the mindset of, like, that he knew that, look, this woman, there's something in this woman that she didn't even know she had. And that's this, that before he created her, before God created her, there was a plan that he had for her. But she hadn't discovered that plan whatsoever. So this was what was at the back of Jesus' mind. Anytime Jesus looks at any of us, anytime Jesus looks at anybody on the face of the earth, no matter how terrible they are, no matter how good they think they are, this is what is on his mind. He's seeing what they ought to be. He's seeing what they ought to be. He's seeing what they ought to be, not what they are. Do you understand? So that's the first thing that Jesus was saying in terms of them. Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. The other thing Jesus was looking at when he was having this conversation with her, I believe, is Jeremiah chapter 29, 11. I know you guys say I quote this a lot, but, you know, there you go. It says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. So when Jesus was having the conversation with her, this, I believe, was running in his mind that, look, the plans I have for you are different from what you're doing now. The plans I have for you are different from what you're doing now. So that was the perspective that he had about her. Where you are at the moment is not where you ought to be, Jesus was thinking, I believe. I'm going to take you to where you are meant to be. So we see these three perspectives here. We see the woman's perspective. We see the disciples' perspectives. We now see Jesus' perspective as well. Now, let's just round up now. What did all this amount to? What did all this amount to? Now, let's look at the same John chapter 4. Now, after Jesus had spoken to her, let's look at John chapter 4, verse 28. It says, then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come, see a man who has told me everything I have done. Could this be the Messiah? And they came out of the town and made their way towards him. So, what happened from the conversation that Jesus had with her? The conversation that Jesus had with her, if we look earlier, he told her that, when they were having the conversation, she said, we're expecting a Messiah. They said he will come X, Y, and Z. And she described, and Jesus said, I am he. The person who we are looking at is the Messiah that you've been expecting. And after she heard that, Bible says that she dropped everything she was doing and she went out. Now, at that point, she encountered Jesus. So it was no more a religious mindset. It wasn't, I'll just go to church, I'll do what I need to do, I'll do this, do that. No. It was beyond that now. She encountered Jesus heart to heart. Now, how did she encounter Jesus? The Bible tells us, we don't have to turn there. In Acts chapter 16, verse 30 to 31, there was a man, the Bible calls him the jailer, and he came to Paul. He had imprisoned Paul, and you know, certain things happened. And this man came to Paul, the apostle, and he said, what must I do to be saved? And Paul told him, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. He didn't tell him, go and jump across, go and climb seven mountains and seven hills, then come back to me. Do you understand what I mean? He didn't say that. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. So we see here that once she encountered Jesus Christ, not from a religious perspective, her life totally changed. Her life totally changed. She got to the point where she left Jesus Christ. She went into her city and went to broadcast that, look, I've seen a man who has told me all about my life. I have met the Messiah. All the people in her town came out and they said they listened to Jesus Christ as well. And after a while, they said, we have not only believed in Jesus Christ because of what you have said, but because we have encountered him already. So we see there that this lady, this woman, was someone who was almost like an evangelist. From that single encounter that she had with Christ and actually coming in contact with Jesus Christ, it turned her life around. She, I believe, now found God's plan for her. And she went out and told people all about it. So what am I saying here to round up? I'm saying here that for every one of us, we need to have the perspective of Jesus concerning our lives and concerning other people. So whatever opinions that you have about yourself or that people have about themselves, or whatever opinion people have about you or that you have about other people, the truth of the matter is that God's plan should override all that. So we should see people from the way people see, from the way God sees them. And I believe it's only when we begin to have that perspective and when we begin to show people the perspective that God has for them, that they can now kind of like leave behind all the guilt, leave behind all the condemnation, leave behind all the things that are holding them and begin to really walk in the way God wants them to walk after they've encountered Jesus Christ. Do you understand? So that's the perspective we ought to have. Let's rise and just pray together. So I just want